For over 10 years, Michael Klingabeil and his mom Phyllis shared a monthly ritual. Each would chip in $20, and then Michael would spend the money on a lottery ticket. Then on October 2nd, 1997, Michael called his parents with unbelievable news. "Mom, we won," declared Michael. The winning ticket in Michael's hand was worth over $2 million, which Michael's mother, Phyllis, expected to be shared evenly. But the next day, when Michael went to claim the winnings, there was no mention of Mom. As a matter of fact, Michael told his parents that he actually had purchased the winning ticket in addition to the ticket that he had bought with the money that she had sent him. His claim was that the $2 million was rightfully his and his alone. Well, in response, the 60-year-old retiree decided to sue her son, claiming breach of an oral contract. Apparently, Phyllis had failed to instill in her son the important principle that we call share and share alike. Well, today we're considering the value of practicing this important principle of sharing. And here in Romans 15, Paul demonstrated three things that every Christian ought to share and share alike. Here in our study this morning, we'll see that Christians ought to be sharing the Lord. We'll also see that Christians ought to be sharing our life. And finally, we'll discover that we should be sharing our labor. I believe personally that if we'll consider the spiritual significance of sharing, putting these principles into practice, then we'll become the kind of Christians who are making others rich, spiritually speaking, simply by sharing. Making others rich by sharing our Lord, sharing our life, and sharing our labor. Well, with that as our outline, let's consider our first point, that of sharing our Lord. When it comes to sharing, I remember as a kid, my little sister, she was the only sibling who was willing to go shopping with my father. My brother and I, we wanted nothing to do with that trip. But without fail, my little sister would return rewarded with a big bag of candy, always cherry sours. She loved the cherry sours, but another thing is that she loved sharing with her brothers. And so she was glad to share that bag of candy with my brother and myself. She was willing to share with us. Well, that is until the candy started disappearing. You see, as the candy slowly disappeared, so did her desire to share the tasty treats with my brother and I. And the fact is, it's easy to share when we have more than enough. Oh, it's easy to share when we have enough. But when what we're sharing begins to run out, when our supply begins to dwindle, it becomes harder and harder to share. And share alike. While it's difficult to share our limited resources, we must consider one fact when it comes to Christian sharing. That fact is this: God is infinite. God is limitless. And He's called us to share Him. He's called us to share the Lord. And we'll never run out of the Lord, will we? We always have more than enough of the Lord to share with others, and so we should learn to share the Lord. Check out the way Paul put it here in our text. In Romans 15, beginning in verse 20, Paul writes, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand." Here in these verses, we discover Paul's passion to share the Lord with the lost. Because here in verse 20, Paul declared, "I have made it my aim to preach the gospel." This word aim, it means to strive for or to labor for. It speaks of purpose. It speaks of ambition. And so Paul's purpose, Paul's ambition was to preach the gospel. Now we should also take the time to understand this phrase, preach the gospel. This phrase comes from one Greek word that refers to the act of sharing the good news of God's grace. And so we share the message of Jesus Christ. We share the message, the good news, that Jesus has paid for our sins upon the cross. And when we share that message with others, we're sharing or preaching the gospel. When we preach salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, we're sharing our Lord with the lost. And so Paul, his passion was to share the Lord with others. But not just to some general audience. Paul wasn't setting out to just go share the Lord with anyone. No, he had a very specific group in mind. Paul wanted to share the Lord with those who had not yet, they haven't heard the good news. So he traveled from Jerusalem to Illyricum, fully preaching the gospel of Christ. He was searching for those who had never heard the good news of Jesus. Look at Romans 15:20 again. He says, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." See, Paul's aim, his ambition, Paul's passion was to share the Lord with the unreached. He was basing this ambition on the words found in the prophet Isaiah. Check out verse 21 again. Paul writes, "As it is written," and he quotes Isaiah, "to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand." Here in verse 21, Paul was quoting from the prophet Isaiah. And so let's go back and look at this prophecy in its context, turning back to the book of Isaiah. Hold your place in Romans 15. Turn to Isaiah chapter 52. And as you're turning to Isaiah 52, we should understand that God had already revealed the importance of proclaiming the good news of grace through the prophet Isaiah. And so here in this chapter, Isaiah was writing about this important task of sharing the good news. And this is where the original phrase comes from: how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation. But now the Jewish believers in the first century, the Jewish believers in Paul's time period, well, they were in full agreement that, oh yeah, we ought to go share this good news with other Jews. We ought to go share this good news with those in Israel. We ought to go share this good news with our people that Jesus has come and fulfilled the prophecies of the Messiah. They were in full agreement with that. But Paul wanted them to make sure that they didn't fail to accomplish the final verses found here in Isaiah 52. Here in Isaiah 52, looking at verse 13, Isaiah writes, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, just as many were astonished at you. So his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider." This final verse is what Paul was quoting, bringing to mind this very prophecy that the message of the Messiah would go into every nation. And based on the words of Isaiah, Paul understood that it was the job of every Jewish believer to share the Lord with unbelievers, both Jew and Gentile alike. He understood that the Lord is to be shared. And so share and share alike. So looking back at Romans 15, he declared in verse 20, "I've made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand." Now with Paul's ambition, with Paul's aim and focus, let's consider what this means to me and you. Keep holding your place there in Romans 15 and turn over to Philippians chapter 3. And as you're turning to Philippians chapter 3, consider that without a doubt, Paul's ambition, his aim, his goal, his purpose was to share the Lord with the lost. But listen, We must understand that not only was this Paul's ambition, but it was Paul's ambition that it would also be our ambition. You see, Paul wanted every believer to make it their goal, to make it their aim, to share the Lord with the lost. As a matter of fact, Paul's commanded all Christians everywhere to share his mindset and follow his pattern here in Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 17, if you will. Paul writes, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." Paul was saying, look at what I'm doing and do likewise. Look at my example and follow it. And not only my example, but look at those around us that are walking in the same way. Mark them. Take note to them. Take notice of them. And follow them as well. To the Corinthians, Paul also declared, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Well, it's been said that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Not all imitators are truly representing those they claim to imitate. If you've ever seen a bad Elvis impersonator, you know what I'm talking about. Consider another example. It was February 2007 when a Chewbacca impersonator was arrested on Hollywood Boulevard for headbutting a tour guide on the Walk of Fame. Though the impersonator looked like our beloved Chewie, everyone knows that Han Solo's sidekick only headbutts stormtroopers and sand people. I mean, this is just common knowledge. Chewie would never headbutt a tour guide on the Walk of Fame. But listen, a similar situation occurs in the church today. You see, there are many who claim to be imitators of Christ. We claim to be Christians, which mean little Christs. We claim to be imitators of Christ, and yet we don't do a good job imitating Christ. You see, Jesus came to preach the gospel, call people to repentance. Then Paul came along and said, "Hey, I'm imitating Christ. Imitate me. Imitate my example. And by the way, look at those around you who are also imitating that same example. Mark them. Take notice of them. Follow them." And that example, the common thread that we see through all of these Christ imitators, is that we share the Lord with the lost. If you're going to be an imitator of Jesus Christ, then you too ought to be sharing the Lord. Like Paul, we ought to share the Lord by preaching the gospel to those who haven't heard the good news of God's grace. We ought to be those who can say, "I've made it my aim to preach the gospel. I've made it my ambition to share the Lord with the lost." And so Christians who share and share alike are Christians who share the Lord. Christians who share and share alike are also Christians who share their lives. This is our second point. Let's consider that when we talk about sharing our lives, we're talking about Christian fellowship. You see, the Greek word for fellowship, it stems from a word that means common or can also mean shared. And the English equivalent is defined as sharing of common interests, goals, experiences, or views. Here in our text, Paul revealed his desire to share his life through fellowship by spending time sharing his life with other believers who share the same interests, goals, experiences, and views. Check out verse 22, if you will. Romans 15, 22, Paul writes, "For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey, and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while." Now, here in these verses, Paul revealed his passion to share his life with other believers. And we find this passion revealed with three relational statements here in these verses. Look back at verse 23. It's in the second half of that verse that Paul declared that he had a great desire for many years to go to Rome. the word desire, this desire that he had. Well, it stems from a word that means to pursue with love. And so Paul was pursuing Christian fellowship with love because he loved to be around other believers. He wanted to be around other Christians. He even loved it, and so he pursued it with a loving pursuit, looking for the time, desiring to be with other believers. Then in verse 24, we find that second relational statement. Paul declared, "I hope to see you on my journey." The word hope, it speaks of having good expectations. So Paul was expecting good things to happen as a result of their fellowship. He's saying, you know, I'm really hoping to be able to spend time with you because I know that good things are going to result from that. Then at the end of verse 24, we find that third relational statement. Paul declared that he was going to enjoy their company for a while. The NLT renders it like this. After I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can send me on my way again. This word enjoy, this enjoying that he speaks of, well, it speaks of being filled and satisfied. You know, it's kind of like that feeling that you get when you're with friends and you're at a meal and the food is just cooked perfectly and it just tastes so good and you're enjoying the fellowship and you know, you didn't eat too much, so you're all, oh, you know, it's too much. And you didn't eat too little so that you're just kind of still hungry. But you just ate that right amount, and the flavor of the food is still in your mouth. And they bring a little mint by, and you're just like, no thanks. I don't want to ruin the flavor that's in my mouth. It's so satisfying. I'm just going to sit here and just kind of bask in this moment. I'm enjoying it too much. Paul understood that good Christian fellowship, it's like having that really, really good meal where you're just satisfied. You're just filled and satisfied and relaxing in the moment. Well, with this in mind, let's spend a moment considering Paul's example. And let's ask ourselves, do we have the same passion to share our lives with the Christians around us? Let's ask ourselves, do we share Paul's desire for Christian fellowship? Are we pursuing Christian fellowship with love? Are we pursuing that time that we might spend with other believers? Or do we always have some reason why we got to hurry up and go? Can't just sit here and just enjoy our time together. Can't just hang out. Don't have a desire to really be around you. I have a desire to be somewhere else, with someone else. Does your heart fill with hope as you look forward to seeing your Christian family at church? On your way to church, you're just like, oh, I hope so-and-so is there. Oh, I hope that person, I hope they're there because I love spending time with them. Good things always come about when we talk. Or does the thought of sharing your time with other believers just kind of bum you out? I hope they're not there. You know, hope I can get in and out of that church as quickly as possible. Does your heart fill with joy? Are you looking forward to the time of enjoyment, of being filled and satisfied through the time that you're spending with other Christians? Or when you come to church, are you constantly watching the clock, biding your time until you can just get out of here as soon as possible? We must understand that Christians who share and share alike are Christians who declare with King David how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Christians who share and share alike want to share their lives by coming together and staying together. And it's like a bummer when we have to finally go home. Christians who share and share alike are Christians who desire to be around other believers. We are those who hope to spend more time with the Christians that we love, and we enjoy being filled and satisfied in the company of our Christian family. Christians who share and share alike are Christians who share the Lord with unbelievers. We share our lives with other believers. And finally, we share our labor with the church. Let's consider this third and final point. As we talk about labor, we're talking about work. And as we talk about work, I have to consider how the body works. And have you ever noticed that when a part of your body is in pain, everything you do becomes more difficult? When one little part of your body is suffering, Everything you do just seems to be harder. I know about this because this past week at camp, I was quickly reminded of my age. I just turned 39. We were in the auditorium kicking a soccer ball around, and the ball kind of got away from the reach of my foot and kind of overextended myself, and next thing I knew, I was laying on my back in much pain. I bruised a muscle in my back, and ever since has been difficult. Everything I'm doing is difficult, just with a little bit of back pain. Used to be I could just lift up my laptop bag with my 17-inch laptop in it and just throw it over my shoulder and walk out the door like nothing. And now it's like, ooh, ouch, that kind of hurts. Walking has been more difficult. I noticed that it's easier to walk my wife's speed now, and you know, I'm kind of just walking a little bit slower. Let's not even talk about the attempt to tie my shoes. That's a chore in and of itself. You see, on the average morning, it takes me about an hour to get ready. You know, I've got to fix my hair. I've got to, you know, get my outfit together. Usually takes me about an hour to get out the door. Now it takes about an hour and a half. Just because I'm moving slower. Doing things slower. All because I strained one little muscle in my back. Just one little. I didn't hurt my fingers. I didn't, not my arms. My legs still work, but just I'm just slower because of one little muscle pain. The point is this. The entire body seems to work better when every part of the body is working. It's more efficient. We're able to get the work done better. And here in our text, Paul's revealing the same thing is true when it comes to the body of Christ. Look at Romans 15, verse 23. He says, "But now, no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Here in these verses, Paul points out five ways in which we should work together in order to share the spiritual labors of the church. The first of which, the first way that we can work together, well, it's found in the word help. And that word help is found in verse 24. Look at verse 24 where Paul declared, "Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you." This word help, it means to accompany. It means to escort. It refers to someone who plays a supportive role in accomplishing a task. And so there's a need for those in the body of Christ who just play that supportive role. How can I help? I see you're doing something. Can I help you? Can I support you in this? We just need helpers to come along and help us to accomplish the will of God. The second word that Paul used to help us to understand how we can share our labor, it's the word minister, and we find it in Romans 15:25. "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints." Understand that this word minister, it's less pretentious than it sounds. The word ministry or minister, it means to serve or to wait upon. It was the word that was used of those who were waiting tables for the elderly widows. It's just a real hands-on, roll up the sleeves, get your hands dirty kind of ministry. And so the body of Christ needs those who are willing to just get in and serve some tables. Do some real practical things to help others out. Well, the next word that reveals the importance of sharing the labor is again the word minister. However, this word for minister comes from a different Greek word. Let's begin again in Romans 15, 25, where Paul writes, "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things." You see, in verse 25, the word minister speaks of this practical, hands-on, roll-up-the-sleeves kind of service. But here in verse 27, the word minister actually speaks of those who aid others with their resources, even relieving poverty at times. So the Christians in Macedonia and Achaia, they heard about the financial woes of those in Jerusalem. In response, they gathered a financial contribution in support of God's work there in Israel. It's kind of like they're saying, hey, we really can't come physically there to help you, but what we'd like to do is just pull this money together and send it through Paul's hands to take part in that work, to share in the labor, just financially supporting it. No doubt that the body of Christ needs those who God is blessed with money and can help to support financially the work that's going on. The fourth way in which Christians can share in the labor is found in the words perform and seal. In Romans 15, 28, Paul writes, "Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain." Now, the word perform here, it means to complete. So Paul's looking to make sure that this act of service, this gift being delivered to Jerusalem, is completed, that the money doesn't stop halfway there or three-fourths of the way there, but actually gets there and is received. So completed. The word sealed here means to confirm with a stamp of approval. This is what we might call quality control. Paul wanted to make sure that the benevolent gift that was being delivered was delivered without condition or question. He wanted the task to be completed and confirmed. Likewise, the body of Christ needs those who can manage the tasks to make sure things are being finished, and not just finished, but finished with excellence, finished well. Things that need to be accomplished and accomplished with excellence, completed and confirmed. Well, the final demonstration of sharing the labor is found in the word blessings. Look at verse 29, if you would. Paul declared, "I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." This word blessing, well, it speaks of fine discourse. It refers to the use of language that is artfully adapted to captivate the hearer. So Paul was coming to Rome to preach the gospel with linguistic clarity. Leads me to believe that the body of Christ is in need of pastor teachers who can clearly communicate the gospel message. All these duties, all these functions, all these tasks, well, we're called to work together, to share the labor to accomplish all these things. I like the way that Paul sums all this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So hold your place in Romans 15 and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we can better understand the way that we are called to share the labor, the spiritual labor of the church. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul was explaining the way in which every Christian has been gifted and called to share in the labor. And he reveals here that every believer has been spiritually empowered to help fulfill the works that we're called to accomplish. If you would, look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're beginning in verse 4, where Paul writes, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. You see, it's based on these verses that we see that every Christian has a specific duty, a specific task, a specific role and goal. Sharing in the labor, accomplishing the work of the entire body. This is what it means to share our labor. So the question is this: how are you sharing our labor? How are you helping to accomplish the goal of the church? As I already pointed out, the human body is able to accomplish so much more when every part of the body is functioning properly. So too, the church is able to accomplish so much more when every part shares in the labor. With this in mind, if you would turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll show you where Paul said this very thing. That we've all been called to share in our part. We must understand that as it takes me longer to get ready in the morning because one little part of my body is hurt, well, we're not going to question for 1 minute that God is unable to get his work done. He's going to get the work done. The question is, how quickly do we want to see it finished? And if we all are doing our part, then the body's going to function here on earth a lot better, a lot more efficient. And so we're all called to pull our weight. We're all called to share in our part of the labor of the church. And this is what Paul is saying here to the church in Ephesus. Again, here he likens the church to the human body. And in verse 11, he writes, that's Ephesians 4:11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Listen, we've been gifted by the Holy Spirit, called by Christ, to do our share, to share in the labor, sharing in the spiritual labor of the church. And God's going to get his work done. He's going to accomplish his will. The question is, do you want to be a part of it or not? Do you want to be a part of it or not? But it's when we all come together and share our labor that the body of Christ is built up in love. That's how the church grows. That's how the church realizes its potential. That's how God accomplishes his will in the most efficient manner, is when every Christian comes and says, I have a part here. There is something for me to do here, and I'm going to share in that labor. And if that means I've got to give up some of my activities, if that means I have to give up some of the overtime that I might be working, if that means I need to focus more of my energy to make that happen, then that's what we're called to do. Maybe that means serving in the children's ministry. Maybe that means you're showing up early and just serving as a hall monitor or a helper, or maybe being even raised up to the teacher level at some point in time, serving in some of the children's ministry classrooms, or maybe that just means that you're sitting in the nursery making sure that kids aren't bumping their heads during one of the services. Maybe it means that you're serving on the media team and you're helping to put together the PowerPoint presentations or editing the radio show. Or maybe it means that you're serving on the cleaning crew or the maintenance team, making sure that this building is clean and ready for people to be received here. Maybe God would have you to join the worship team and learn how to work sound, or maybe eventually becoming someone on stage here who's singing or playing an instrument. Or maybe you're better suited to be an usher or a greeter, becoming the handshake and the hug and the hello of this church. I can't tell you where God's calling you. I don't know. I'm not going to line up each of you and prophesy over each of you and say, thus saith the Lord, you are now an usher. That's not my goal or my role. My job is to equip you and encourage you and let you know that God has a place for you to serve. Now you just need to get real with Him and seek out what His will is for you. And then step up and share the labor. Become a part of what God is doing here at this church. So the question is this. Are you willing to share and share alike? Or is your time your time? And the labors that you perform are all about you. Let me encourage you with this, that there's no doubt in my mind that God's not calling us to give what we don't have. That would be unreasonable and highly illogical for God to call you to give something that you don't have. However, God certainly is commanding us to share what He has given us. What we do have, we've been called to share and share alike. Therefore, as Christians, we've been given the Lord. He has given us Himself. And now is saying, share me. Share me with others. We've received the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive, much more than that $2 million lottery ticket. We have the limitless love of God that we've been filled with, and now He turns around and says, share it. Share that love with the world. Share the Lord with those who don't believe. Christians who share alike are going into their business places and seeking out those who haven't heard the gospel or don't fully understand it. And we're taking that time to explain it to them so that they can know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and that by faith they can receive that forgiveness. Christians who are going into the family outings and the family picnics and the groups of friends that might not know the Lord, we're going there with the sole purpose of sharing the Lord. That's what Christians do who share and share alike. Christians who share and share alike are sharing our lives. We're desiring to be around other Christians, hoping that we're going to be able to spend even more time with Christians, enjoying being satisfied and filled because of the time that we've spent with Christians. This is what it means to share and share alike, spiritually speaking. Christians who share and share alike are sharing in the labor of what God wants to accomplish at church. We're pulling our weight and doing our part to make sure that every part of this church is functioning properly. So that every single one of us is doing a little to make the greater whole happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to share and share alike. God wants to use you. He wants to use every believer present to share our Lord, to share our lives, and to share our labor. Because this is what it means to share and share alike. Let's pray.